Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Very good morning to you, David Slack. And for the final time that we'll have you on the breakfast show this year, I imagine, unless you want to just do some surprise pop-ups.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm out. I'm hitting the summer. Hey, look, I say this with affection, but the equipment here is so shit, eh? Everything's falling apart. Look at these headphones, man.
Yeah, but, do you want these ones? These are nicer. You can swap.
Oh, thanks, Tess. Swap. Here you go.
I can just say what you feel, eh?
Listeners, if you don't have a B card, why don't you buy one?
Buy a B card. Stop David Slack complaining about our headphones.
Bit more dough.
In the industry, they're called cans,
Dave. The best little radio station you'll ever listen to that doesn't have a lot of money and certainly doesn't have enough for headphones.
But credibility, shit, yes.
I see
shit
what loads. You mean about these headphones.
Okay, calm down, everyone. All right, do you want to buy these headphones, Tess?
No, I'm good.
Anyway, sounds good. Hey, David, you joined us for your political commentary, final one of the year, and you've decided to do a sort of a roundup of sorts.
What have we learned?
What have we learned
from 2018?
What have we learned? Don't trust your fellow MPs. Still don't know whether it was Judith Collins who dug up that swamp carry. dug up that gas line when she was digging for swamp carry.
That was your favourite story of the year.
Yeah,
by a long margin.
Still haven't even got close to finding out the results of that. What else? I'll leave it up to you.
There are two. I've got this argument that all of the bullshit happens day to day that distracts us, and the large stories kind of get airtime when nothing else is happening. And so, really, you know, if we were at all logical and sensible, the two huge stories every day of the year would have been climate change and how we deal with an income for everybody, like, for example, a universal basic income, as we face a prospect where many, many people may not have work, you know, as the robots are coming for our jobs. What actually happened was a whole lot of other stuff as well, which is not to say the government wasn't working on it. They have large programs exploring the future of work, and thanks in particular to the Greens, but the Labor component of the administration as well, they are working on looking to get a stronger, cleaner, greener economy.
Push that argument overseas as well, you know, to our fellow planeteers, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to a president who said we've got the clean air, the best air. I forget whatever asinine thing he said.
A lot of friends.
But you know, clearly we've got a pressing problem and a crisis, and you really hope that there's going to be enough action in particular. And this is what I was saying in my column on the weekend. You know, what have we learned and what can we take from all of this? And as an example, I was saying why the French, you know, every weekend they've been putting on yellow jackets and throwing projectiles around, and why are they doing this? Well, the answer is because the government has put a more hefty fuel tax on in order to discourage them using vehicles, but in fact they're just objecting to the fact that it's costing them more. And I was saying, what will happen when they discover one day that the climate is irretrievably broken for human habitation? They'll probably throw projectiles around, and what could you do about it? Well, you could put up the price of gas.
It's actually just time to stop. It's actually just actually face up to what's going on. And
that's right. And my tortuous argument came to the conclusion where my landing point was, do you think actually many of our biggest problems would be solved if we got out of cars and got onto bikes? And then my simple answer was yes. You know, our principal problem is that we're burning fossil fuels in huge amounts. And in fact, the planet burned more fossil fuels in cars and drove more miles last year in cars than ever before. FFS.
And then you've got some, you know, and with the climate change, you get a difference in those terrifying forest fires
that's right.
Yeah. In America and stuff, which that's burning stuff too. That just adds to the problem. You know,
it's
caused by the problem and adds to the problem. And it wouldn't take much to escalate it to a really critical point.
And rising sea levels, which make people scoff and say, well, you're talking about a little bit. What's the problem? until you start to see a pinch point now, and I can remember talking about this 20 years ago, saying that's going to start washing up onto coastal properties, and then people are going to be complaining and say, look after us. Well, guess what? Now, insurers who read the numbers and see the, you know, the actual implications will not insure those homes. So now
that's in New Zealand. That's in New Zealand.
That's in New Zealand. And they're saying, help us. Well, hello. That's what we were talking about. And so to go back to my original point, fossil fuels and cars, as convenient as it is, and we were just talking off air about this, how if you want to get across Auckland, you're going to be screwed if you want to get in a car.
Yeah.
And I get that we've made everything so that you can't readily go from one place to another without a car, but
really takes a shine out of Christmas on the isthmus, doesn't it?
You know? Nice. It puts the ISIS in crisis. But the that's what's heartening about some of the work that this government has been doing and here in Auckland to look at alternative transport strategies. This is why bikes are actually a good idea, even though a fossil like goddamn Barry Soper bangs on about them in a brain-dead column and says, I don't see the need for them, nobody wants them, who asked for them? No, you didn't ask for them, Barry, but I tell you what, a lot of people get that this works really well. And it is, you know, Copenhagen, for example, in 1960 had the same profile of transport use as we do today. In other words, the same proportion of people used cars. Today, about three quarters of people make their journeys of under 2 miles on a bike, and it snows in winter. There,
and it
can be done.
It just, and there's other things we've done. Remember, you used to be able to smoke wherever you liked. At one stage, then they decided the law to change, and for the greater good.
Yep.
And people lost their shit about it.
Yep.
You know, people were freaking out, and you know. Prisoners freaking out, you know, stuff like that. But it all happened. It's all for the greatest. It's for the best, you know.
And now you walk past somebody having one, and you think, "Oh God, what's that smell?"
No, I thought that the whole time.
But you know, the intensification, for example, the whole idea of that and of trams is not actually to get you from here to the airport on a tram, but to make it just as enjoyable to get around as it is in Melbourne.
You're right. Because often we do think about it as a me getting from there to there. When actually it's not about just that. It's about the way back and the other people that are having to get around you getting from there to there.
That's right. And let's say, for example, that in that chunk that's in that Dominion Road area heading south towards where you might be, for example, Mikey. If all of that has a tram running through the middle of it and that all gets intensified, meaning there are way, way, way more apartments, but all of those people can just pile onto a tram because it's got the capacity for them and it's coming along all the time, the whole thing really works. Suddenly you don't need a car. You can be on the tram or on your bike or whatever, or your e-bike, because yes, I get that it rains and that we have hills, but if you've got an e-bike, it's a quick ride. You can get there between showers, and the hill doesn't matter because e-bike means that it's painless going up and down one. These things can be done, just like we adapted to the smoking. And this isn't all just faddish. This is because the freaking planet is in crisis.
Yeah. And it's amazing that the plastic bag thing too. Amazing that, see, there's another thing. It's just done now. Now the next thing is packaging.
No worries.
Packaging. Yeah. So much packaging.
Take it all off.
Yeah, plastic toy wrapped up in a plastic case and another plastic case and a plastic box wrapped up in plastic. No point. Hey, someone's texting here saying, we've learned that Shane Jones is a crook. This is what they've learned. They've learned that Shane Jones is a crook who thinks he's above the law. And Kiwi Build's a total flop. And JA, I assume that means Jacinda Ardern, not Jane's Addiction, has no control over MPs.
Yes, well, I'll wait for the substantiation of all of that.
There you go.
Kiwi Build, for example, got derided because it was misinterpreted as one thing when it was actually intended for another purpose. The
poorest, because some of the building companies would stop collapsing.
Yeah, well, what I would kind of like to see happen with Kiwi Build is that you actually make a Ministry of Works again, because when you've got that long program of work, you can actually justify doing that. But clearly that wasn't in their consideration. But the idea of the program is to build more of the kinds of houses that people might have a prospect of affording in the middle of the market. It's not for the poorest people who need the help that was taken
motel
away from
motel units
them.
And stuff. Yeah.
We always had different parts of the market. We had state houses, and we also had the state advances, for example, used to make it possible when you were a young family starting out to borrow from the government, get a mortgage, and build a house, and an affordable house. And it would be, and that all disappeared because you simply couldn't find a house in the middle of the market. Well,
yep.
Kiwi Builders are supposed to make that happen again. And it takes time for that to happen, but it's on its way. I'll admit it was a bust if 3 years from now it hasn't happened.
Yep.
But I would predict that, in fact, we're going to get a good outcome from it.
What about this text? And someone texted in and said, I'm not the vegan activist type, but if everyone reduced meat consumption by 80 to 90% and ate more plant-based, that would have a bigger impact than reducing car use.
Or you could do both. That is a really good point. We could the cost of producing protein via a cow as against crickets is about 10 times as much.
All 40 of the times, energy, 40, 40 times energy, for crickets.
Yeah, energy and water that it uses. But also, thanks to Mary Margaret getting all vegan on our ass, we've been doing a lot of eating this year where there's just a little meat or none in our diet. And actually, once you start figuring out how you're going to make your food,
it's actually easy. I don't know. I mean, people like it, I'm fine with that.
Good proposition, but if you're asking me to say so now you can have your car. Sorry, I'm not going to say that.
No, even reducing it is a good proposition.
As someone from the North Shore, you would have been overjoyed this year to hear that yes, indeed, there is going to be a little add-on to the Harbour Bridge,
a Skypath.
It's going to end up being full of lime scooters, probably.
Yeah, I just broke my lime cherry this morning on the way up.
Did
here.
Ya?
Yeah, I tried.
Oh,
I tried. I tried one coming
nice
up.
Nice way of putting it.
They're a bit shit on the hill, aren't they?
Well,
9K was all I could get from it.
Which hill? Like that, right up the Queen?
Wellesley Street.
Oh, that's a fair hill, though.
Yeah.
Fair hill.
Does it depend on how much battery you've got, though?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, or charge, not battery.
Well, and someone, so naturally I tweeted about this, and somebody said, I think on the app you can change the power setting. Now I'm going to go and have a look. Overclock it.
Yeah. I saw someone going down Ponsonby Road yesterday so fast.
You should have pulled over and said something.
So fast.
Yeah, I've seen people coming down Queen Street who are a danger to themselves and everybody in the vicinity.
And cars, are you talking about?
No. Well, that's a constant.
Because surprise, surprise.
It looks a bit silly when you're going that fast too.
But you know, like I said about those scooters, that at least you're not looking at your phone. You know,
true.
It's amazing to see less people looking at their phone.
Yeah.
Although I went to when I was in the airport, I was at the airport over the weekend, and just like there's a great place to see 700 adults all relying on their telephones all at one time.
Yeah, so I can't imagine how anybody would do that. You were talking about the Skypath. I presume that was my opportunity promote my pet project.
Yeah.
So I'm going to grab the opportunity. And that is a travelator to connect Auckland City and Devonport, or the North Shore, if you will, with
a Kelly Tarleton's tunnel.
Yeah, you bet.
So it
comes across on the seabed. It's got a wraparound Perspex tunnel on it, just like Kelly Tarleton's. And yes, you're probably going to think it won't be that colourful because the harbour out there is a bit dim and dark and not very, very attractive. But here's what I would do. I'd put a membrane around it and fill that up with warmer water. And you throw all the tropical fish of the world into it. And no, I'm just getting started.
This doesn't sound great for the environment.
Yeah, how does that? What would it be? A kilometre long bloody tropical fish tank? What's going to power that?
Well, instead of making the travelator carry people itself, you could make it like an exercycle where their own motive energy turns it.
Like walking, you mean?
Yeah. And that could be you stick a turbine on that.
And that would warm up the fish.
Exactly.
So if nobody used it, the fish would all die.
If you don't walk, if you don't walk to Auckland now, this fish is going to get it.
Quickly, we've got to go. We've got to go now. Well, that's a great. That's a great idea, David. I mean,
yeah. So it's a travel aid, just like in the airport. And yep. it's also covered, and that means at any point of the day you can just come and go from one side to the other.
How long will it take?
Oh, I reckon about 5 minutes.
As long as the ferry, yeah.
Or maybe you could make multiple tracks, one slow, one fast.
What you should do is add it onto the America's Cup costs. Just a little bit here, maybe 100 grand there.
Hardly notice
100 grand onto whatever all that money's going towards, by the way. And then just,
I've saved the best till last.
Go ahead,
we
David.
We also have to legalise weed, because obviously we've got to do that. Yep. And once you have... You will be able to go get yourself baked, go down there and just sit there all day, gliding up and down at the
keeping the fish alive by walking up and down.
There'll be enough room there for a band. There'll be enough room for a band. Yeah.
This is getting a bit ridiculous, music. I think.
Yeah.
This sounds nuts.
This is the future, Tess.
Okay.
It'll be going off.
You know, you could have, oh my goodness me.
Oh, okay.
You could have guests, like Marla Williams drop down on a diving bell sort of thing, that'd be great.
The Waitemata Travelator brought to you by BFM.
Word. Yeah.
Sounds extreme.
Playing tonight. Playing tonight at the Travelator.
All right, David Slack. Well, your political credibility is tip-top and intact after that. And thank you very much for
Happy
your contributions.
Christmas.
I've loved having you on the show as always, a pleasure, man. And we look forward to your contributions next year. Have a great Christmas and a great new year.
Cheers, man.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.